Welcome back to another episode of the Jordan Syatt mini podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm really excited about this episode because I just got off a call with Sarah. She's an Inner Circle member, and I had no idea what I was going to title this podcast, but after thinking about it, we covered everything: training, nutrition, fat loss, muscle gain, mindset, motivation, consistency, everything and anything. It doesn't matter if you're just new, brand new, starting out, or you've been in the game for 10 years plus. We cover a lot of not only theory, but practical strategies. If you're not being consistent and you want to be, if you need more motivation, if you need ideas for nutrition, we cover everything in this. And it was really informative and very enlightening. And as I was talking and listening, I learned a lot. So I'm really excited to hear what you have to say. I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions or comments, please let me know. Have a wonderful day. Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Good. How's everything going?
It's going well. Thank you for getting on short notice. I appreciate it.
No, you're cool. I'm just excited.
Well, I'm stoked to have you on. Like, it's been way too long. I'm glad that we can finally get on the phone. And wait, you said you were swimming earlier?
Yeah, I went swimming this morning. I've been, like, super sore this week, so I figured it'd be a nice activity to do.
That's honestly, it's really smart. That's actually one of my favorite things to do. Either that and or sauna actually helps with soreness a lot for me.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Yeah, I mean, like the weather's been hot in LA, so I feel like I'm constantly in a sauna just like having to do my commute.
Is the humidity outrageous? Is the humidity in LA really bad? It's not dry heat. It's pretty wet.
Yeah, it's pretty humid, which doesn't really work for my hair. So
I have the same problem. My hair just does not respond well to it. My curly locks are just, they just get really, really bad.
Long locks.
But listen, so, you've been in the Inner Circle for a long time now, and I know you've heard a lot of these calls, but like, this is your time. You know, I want you to really just ask anything and everything you want. I want, if there's anything specific I can help you with, that's what I'm here for. And I just want to give you the floor, like whatever you want to talk about. Could be questions, it could be like just shooting the shit, whatever you want. This is your time.
Okay, I'm excited. Yeah, it was really interesting. Like, I had this whole like preconceived notion of like what I wanted to talk about, but for like the last couple of weeks since I found out about the call, which I've been so excited about, I've been kind of mindful about like how I've been going about my days, and I kind of just feel like all of the stuff I wanted to ask about, I kind of figured it out on my own.
I love that. That's amazing.
It was just kind of this thing where I was like, okay, I'm just going to like go about my days and just be really mindful. And I ended up answering a lot of my own questions.
Could you give like one example of that? Like, I would really appreciate
it. Yeah. Well, for instance, I've been having like a really bad like sweet tooth for like the past couple of months. And I've always had a sweet tooth. Like, it's like a running joke in my family. They're like, oh, you've always had a sweet tooth since you were a little girl and this and that. But like for the past couple of months, it's been getting a lot worse. And I've noticed that it gets even worse around the time of my periods. And it's just been such a bad thing. So I noticed, just being kind of mindful and all this, that it gets a lot worse when I'm feeling really anxious. And just being mindful of that, I realized like, it's not my diet. I know how to, you know, plan my nutrition. I know what to eat and not to eat. It's just more or less like, when I start getting into my head and feeling really anxious and feeling sad about something, that I notice I revert back to sweets. So I was like, okay, I'm going to talk to Jordan about like how to get my nutrition on track. And it's like, well, you already know how to do that.
Isn't that funny how that works? Like,
yeah.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because it's so, so, so overlooked. And it's one of those things where people will mistakenly assume that, well, clearly whatever diet I'm on, it's just not working. It's like, well, no, the diet would work, but you're not accounting for the times that you're stressed throughout the week and you don't realize how much you're actually eating. And then you're not really accounting for your calories. And even though you think you are, and so there's a lot of things that pile up without actually being aware of it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you were able to pinpoint it and say, listen, I know what to do and I'm doing it. It's not the like majority of time that I'm struggling with, it's those few times that can turn into a bigger problem if I don't have a strategy in place.
Yeah, that's what I was starting to notice, is like just having the strategy. And then also, like, I work a lot. Like, I'm in this really weird place in my life right now where I'm just, like, working. I'm working almost 3 to 4 jobs, and I'm still running my own business. So I started, like, almost craving the flexibility that I had before, because before I did all of this, I was working from home. So it was just so easy to, like, pop, you know, to get out of my desk and go, like, make a meal. You know, I could just go make a fresh meal. And I was, like, still stuck in that mindset of, like, oh, I want that flexibility. And now I'm like, you know what? You don't have that flexibility. And, like, now I do need to plan a little bit of ahead. And I also need to be more mindful about, like, there are going to be times, you know, like, one of the things I do work in real estate, I work as an assistant, like, my boss will invite me to lunches. And, like, sometimes I have to message him and be like, hey, I don't want to eat there. Like, it doesn't fit with my, you know, with my macros or my diet, or is there somewhere else where we can go? Or even, like, sometimes going somewhere and just feeling like I'm not going to eat, I'm just going to go and sit with the company around me. So it's been kind of like a weird transition to deal with all of that.
Yeah. I want to go back, because you hit on something, you almost, like, glazed over it. And it's a very high level psychology and emotional awareness, where you were talking about how you were finding that you wanted the old flexibility, and you're like, mm-hmm. almost like complaining, like, oh, I just wish I had that. And you were like, okay, but I don't anymore. So what now? And a lot of people are not aware enough of, so for example, you know, the positivity challenge that we did in Inner Circle, the 7-day positivity challenge, where,
oh my,
like,
God, I love that.
And I was actually wondering if that was part, like, if you figured that out during that challenge, and if not, that's fine. But it, either way, it fits into the thesis of, hey, if you notice yourself going into a negative mindset on anything, as quickly as you can, figure out how you can turn it into a positive. And for me, it's important to really reiterate, it is not bad to have negative emotions. It's not bad to be sad or upset, or to, like, you mean, to be jealous or insecure. They're normal human emotions. What can be an issue is when you start to associate yourself with any one of those emotions as who you are, and then you dwell on those emotions for too long to the point where nothing positive is happening. And what you did, which was, again, like, very high level and very self-aware, you said, okay, I wish I had that, but then you got to a point where, like, okay, that's great, but I don't. So now what is my plan? And that's where most people, there's a disconnect where there's, like, a bridge, and you built that bridge, and it took time and it took effort. It took awareness. A lot of people just don't have the tools to build the bridge.
Thank you for that. I mean, the 7-day positivity challenge, like, really helped me, because I'm very competitive in nature. Like, I just love competing, and having this challenge was very, like, it brought off that, like, competitiveness in me. Like, anytime I had, like, a negative thought, I was like, oh, how can I turn this around? What can I do to fix this? But I noticed during that week, I handled my week with more ease, and I was more graceful about my communication with people around me. I was less, like, I guess, aggressive with when I needed things, you know. I was very, like, I was able to kind of turn it around. But one of the main things I noticed during the positivity challenge, like, this sounds, I thought it was really funny. Like, the way that I was eating was so much more different than I had in the last couple of months. Like, I was actually sitting and enjoying my meals. And I think it's because I cleared out a lot of that, like, kind of what you said, like, I assessed what was going on. So I was clearing out a lot of this, like, negative space and energy, to where I could just, like, enjoy little things. Like, I'll never forget, like, the 3rd or 4th day, I was sitting and having a cup of coffee, and, like, I made protein banana pancakes, and I was, like, just savoring every sip of coffee and savoring every bite of my pancakes, and I just felt so good. And, like, that just set, like, such a good tone for the week. And, like, anytime somebody would email me or call me, because I deal with a lot of people on a daily basis. Like, a lot of people, and I'm sure you do as well, but it's a lot of different personalities, and it's a lot of managing other people and not really managing myself. So I was, like, challenging myself of, like, okay, I'm just gonna manage myself this week, and if somebody else wants to have a certain reaction, I'm just gonna let them, and I'm not gonna try to change their mind about it. It's not my place to do that, but I can have a more positive impact on how I react and talk. And I was like, very sharp. I noticed I was very sharp that week, and I think I'm still kind of like carrying it on now in the upcoming week. So I'm like, okay, this is good.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and I can hear it in your voice, but also more important in the words that you use, because I've watched your speak, we'll call it your speech, the words you use, your word choice. I've watched it progress, and I've seen different types of posts, like frustrated posts, happy posts, sad posts, like excited posts from you. And it's definitely a more positive tone. And that's the thing about the positivity challenge. It's not like the goal is, it's not like, hey, you're supposed to be positive all the time.
Yeah.
The goal is, in my mind, to, a lot of people don't actually know how pessimistic they can be and how much of their life is spent in a negative, pessimistic mindset. And that type of a challenge where you're forced to really confront it, it can be a big shocker. And like, wow, I thought I was so positive, but I realized this is something that my brain naturally goes to, which, by the way, like, if you really want to dig into psychology, it's normal. It's like actually easier for your brain to take something negative than it is to force it into a positive. It's a much easier switch for your brain to go negative mindset, because basically, I mean, you think of it from an evolutionary perspective, mm-hmm. it's easier to like be negative and push it away because you're going to be safer. You're going to be away from it. You're not putting yourself out there. Positive is like you have to be more accepting and push outside your comfort zone. And with pushing outside your comfort zone comes more danger. But like, basically, to be able to be aware and see all of that out in front of you, I love hearing the differences in the way you're speaking and mm-hmm. and the greater awareness that you're having. One thing that I loved was how you're talking about you were able to enjoy your meals more. It's very interesting. A lot of food anxiety will come, and a lot of people are gonna get like a gut check with this, because when you hear it, it's like, oh my god, I sort of thought I was alone. But mm-hmm. a lot of people struggle with this, is as they're eating their food, they are actively getting more and more anxious as every bite goes by, because that's one less bite that they have left.
Yeah.
And it's a very emotionally taxing way to eat food, because mm-hmm. in a very weird twist of events, you're actually getting hungry and hungrier with every bite, because you're focusing on, oh my God, I want to get full. I'm not going to get full. And so with every bite, you get hungrier and hungrier, knowing that you're losing and you're losing. And mm-hmm. it's a wicked cycle to go down. And there are many ways to overcome it. One of the ways that I really like is basically focusing on the present moment, because if you think about it, any type of fear or anxiety, it's, if you're nervous or anxious about something, it's always a projected future event. Mm-hmm. It's, you're never really nervous or anxious about something in the past, right? Because it's already happened. You know the result. And you're never really nervous or anxious about something in the present, because in the present moment, you're thinking about what to do now. And you're thinking, well, if there's nerves or anxiety, it's like, well, what is the outcome going to be? And the more you can focus on what's going on in this moment, and how, a lot of times, that's, you've heard me talk about being able to speak about your feelings. A lot of times, if you can just be in that moment and verbally start talking about why you start feeling anxious, if you could say, okay, here's the deal. I'm starting to feel anxious because I only have, I don't know, like I have this one meal and I don't want to be full when I'm done. You say it out loud. All of a sudden, the stress is gone because you've voiced it. And then you can say, and when worse comes to worse, I don't know, I can have a fucking, like, I can make another shake, or I can make, like, I can have an apple or whatever. Like, God forbid I go over, like, 80 calories. You know, it's, all of a sudden, you can be logical as opposed to emotional and live in this present moment. And then it's going to make it just so much more enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. I just, when you were talking about all that, I just remember, a few years ago, I got diagnosed with PTSD. I've always dealt with anxiety. I went through a very like traumatic experience. I was abused for 13 years and I never really talked about it or I dealt with it. So it just became kind of like anxiety became a thing as part of my daily life. And I took it out on food. I took it out on exercise. I was doing jiu-jitsu for like hours a day and not eating. I was like raw vegan because I thought, what did I think? What was I thinking during that time? But I think my anxiety manifested in a lot of like the ways that I ate and the ways that I exercised. And I'll never forget, like I got diagnosed with PTSD, and I one of the things that actually like got me to go into therapy and really got me into like just taking care of myself was I spent almost 2 weeks without eating. Like, I was just so sick of like food. I didn't want to touch food. And for some reason that experience like launched me into just being more mindful about what I eat, because I had done it in such abundance, and now I like wanted to scale back and actually learn how to mindfully eat for myself. Like, you know, when you go through those moments of like binging and not eating and binging and eating, that's basically what I had gone through. And then all of a sudden I was getting this really bad anxiety about food, and I just like, I stopped eating. Like, I just didn't want to eat anymore. I was getting so sick of food, which was a really silly thing at the time, because it was like, I correlated food to everything bad. And then I started changing my mindset, and I'm like, well, I can start thinking of this as like nurturing and really helping me. And I could start thinking of it as like nourishment. And like that mindset alone took so much time, and I still really struggle with it. I would say, like, as far as exercising goes, like, I follow the plans that you give us. I'm doing the 90-day challenge, and I've kind of like fallen off like a few times, but I'm like getting back up and just starting again. I have no trouble exercising at all. I love moving my body, but I sometimes still revert back to like with the food anxiety, and I get like so sick of food, and I'm like, I don't want to eat. I don't want to deal with this. But I realize a lot of it is just not planning or being mindful or sitting down and having a good meal. So I'm more aware of that now, I think.
I mean, there's a lot that you said that I love, and I want to like sort of go progressively through it, because there's some big topics that are going to help you and a lot of people work through that anxiety. First, I want to say, generally speaking, people will have more anxiety over nutrition than they will over exercise. Mm-hmm. It's just not always. There are some people who will have more anxiety over exercise. Like, I know there are some people who are more or less deathly scared or intimidated to go into the gym, because they're just like, they don't want to be judged. They don't know what's going to happen. And it's scary. Generally speaking, there's more anxiety around food, because a lot of times the gym, they're intimidated to go, but they know that going is going to lead to a positive outcome. Whereas nutrition, sometimes there's so much myth and there's so much fear mongering around it that the idea of eating will oftentimes lead to a thought of, I'm going to get fat. So, yeah. Right. So it's like the gym is, even though they don't want to go, it's a positive outcome if they do. Nutrition, if they do it, a lot of times it's a negative outcome. So it creates more stress.
Yeah.
And the hardest part of that, and really the most difficult part, is a drug. Like, if someone's going through withdrawal with a drug, like, you can just go cold turkey and not have to worry about the drug. It's not like it's easy, but you don't have to have the drug there.
Yeah.
You always have to eat. You always have to eat. And that's like a constant battle of every day. You have to face your demon and come to terms with really trying to figure out the quickest way to make it okay for you to do it and not freak out. And it's not a one bite, one meal, one day fix. It's a constant lifelong process. And you mentioned you're like, you're over it, but you still struggle with it sometimes. And there's still times where you're not like 100%, and that's okay. And I'm so glad that you said that, rather than being like, I'm so great now, I'm good with it, because that would demoralize people who are going through the same thing. Like, it's good to know. It's good to know that people struggle with it. And it's good to know that you were at once at one level and now you're at another level, and you'll continue to progress. And it's funny. It's not funny. It's interesting in that a lot of times, once you've had disordered eating habits, you carry them with you your whole life. And like, they're always there. It doesn't mean you're always triggered or you're always acting on those emotions, but they're always there. And the other thing that you said that I wanted to touch on was these things that you were doing, whether it was a ton of exercise or not eating for a long period of time, you were like, what am I thinking? Like, what was I thinking? And that's the thing. You weren't making logical choice. It wasn't like thoughts that were making you do it. It was emotions. And that's where a lot of people get really, they get themselves into trouble, because, and it's very interesting to me when people sometimes mistake emotions for logic, and it's so
I'm one of
easy to
those people,
do.
by the way. I'm a very emotional and sensitive human being. So, like, I could cry at the drop of a pin. Like, my friends always make fun of me because we'll just be out and I'll just like start, somebody will say something, I'll just start crying. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing right now. But, like, with my food and exercise, and I think I've learned this from you for sure, I've like stopped being emotional with it. I was like, if I'm so fucking emotional with this, like nothing will get done. And I've just been more logical. Like this whole week, I've had no time to exercise, but I was logical. I was like, all right, you got your ass in the gym. You have 20 minutes. You can do a lot with 20 minutes. Just do it and stop. You know, I was like telling myself, just stop being so emotional about all of it. So, but
It's
it's
exactly
not
right.
linear. It's not linear. I mean, it's like what you said about the whole food, like, I feel like I overcame a really big hump with the whole food anxiety, but it's still there. And I would say that it's there all the time. Like my friend and I went and got ice cream yesterday, and I was completely comfortable eating ice cream because I wanted it, you know. But somebody in line was like, you know, and this is kind of the hard thing too. Someone in line was like, oh, well, you know, I'm gonna go kickboxing tomorrow. And like immediately my brain was like, should I have like, you know, booked a kickboxing class tomorrow? Because like it was just the most fucked up, you know, thought I had. And I was like, and I looked at my friend and I literally said it out loud. I was like, am I gonna get fat if I eat this ice cream? And he was like, no, like he was so confused. But I was like, I'm sorry, I just had to say it. And he's like, okay, like we'll enjoy her. He was just so confused, but something about saying it like to him and saying it out loud made me just be like, whoa, like that was going on in my head when that girl said that.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
that's one of the things, like that anxiety, that thought in your head, it's funny. That's like once you voice it, it becomes logical, and you can. We've all done it where you're angry about something. Maybe you're angry at a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a best friend or someone, and then you're like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna tell them. I'm gonna tell them. I'm just gonna tell them, and I'm gonna just like get this out there in the open. And you're amped up. You're ready to go. Like you've rehearsed in your head, and you go and talk to them, and then you're like ready to like let them know how it made you feel. And then as soon as the conversation begins, you're like, it's like the words are coming out, and you almost like you're gonna throw up some words, and you're just like, all right, this is gonna sound really stupid. And it's because now as it's coming out, you're like, wow, I really it, that emotion made it me like it convinced me that it was logical, but it was really just it was me being silly about something
Yeah.
that should it should not have been taken to that level. And so you did the exact right thing, like say it out loud. I mean, I don't know if you say it to your friend, he was clearly like, I don't know what to say. Is this a test? But but
Yeah.
saying it out loud, just being like, all right, is this gonna make me fat? No. Is going to a kickboxing class because I had ice cream going to fix anything? No. Like,
Yeah.
is and you can just have that logical discussion with yourself, which you did, and that's absolutely incredible. So, and that is really the major thing that I would want anybody to understand is if you are ever feeling yourself getting anxious about food or working out, number one, literally verbally voice what's going on, what you're thinking, so you can hear how silly it is. And then number two, my favorite thing, and you've seen me do this in the inner circle a lot, is, and I do it on podcasts sometimes too, but basically I will be so bluntly logical, like in your face, and sometimes people like they think it's like me being mean, but I'm like, it's basically me saying, here is the worst case scenario. Like someone's nervous, like, oh my God, I'm going on vacation for a week and I can't work out. I'm so nervous about losing all my progress. And I'm like, okay, so let's just recap. What you're going on vacation for a week. What is how much progress have you made in your best week, perfect week of working out and nutrition? Like, were you did your body completely change? Did you say, oh my God, I'm so glad how much? And they're like, no. I'm like, so in your worst week of binging and all this stuff, do you really think you're going to make that big of a dent backwards? And they're like, no. A lot of times it's not necessarily telling them, no, you're just wrong. It's painting a picture of here's the worst case scenario, and that's not even that bad.
Yeah, it's never, honestly, it's never as bad. Like when I said that to my friend, he kind of like he made a joke out of it and he made light out of it, but I'm like, oh my God, like this is just not like it's everything's gonna be fine.
Yeah, this is.
There's I can't remember what show it was, but like somebody's like, everybody, oh, it was in The Office where you know, Michael Scott was like, everybody calm down. And like literally, I feel like that voice sometimes in my head goes off when I start freaking out about like this just stupid shit where I'm just like, you know what? Calm down. Like all these thoughts are gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be fine.
That's such a good example too. It's and number one because it's one of my all-time favorite shows, and Michael Scott, that character is genius, and he played it so well. I watched that character, and it's one of those things where I watch it and I laugh because it's hilarious, but at the same time I cringe because he plays it so well. Yeah. I actually think it's real, but the more you honestly, I'm very impressed with you, Sarah, because you, just this discussion, you've come a long way. Like, yeah. From, if nothing else, from a mental perspective, but I mean, your strength, everything that you posted about, you've come a long way from a more or less chronically anxious about, oh my God, well, what about this? 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 To being much more logical. And just because you have a more logical viewpoint doesn't mean you're not going to have emotional anxieties along the way. That's not the point. The point is, how quickly can you rebound from that emotion, and how quickly can you see that logical side? And holy hell, you've completely changed. You Thank see you. It, your critical thinking, which is really what I always, that's the most important thing. Learning to be a critical thinker in anything is important, but with fitness, it's so difficult because there's so many myths and fallacies and someone saying this and someone saying that. So what you have done on a very high level is you've become a critical thinker to the point where more or less anything, no matter what someone tells you, you can break down within a very like significant degree of understanding whether or not it's going to be accurate or not, simply based on critical thinking. Even though you might not be in the actual literature, you can know. Mm-hmm. Just like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, that's fucking stupid. Yeah. And like, or admit like, okay, that might work, but it's not going to work. It's not for me at this point in time. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, you've done a very good job of that.
Thank you. I mean, one of the things I thank you for saying that to me, but I also want to thank you because I think being part of this group has like taught me so much. I tell everybody that I'm involved in this group. And a lot of people are like, oh, are you part of like a dating thing? And I'm like, I have a boyfriend of 5 years, but okay.
Who I met, by the way. Yeah. In London. That was so funny.
It was so funny. I was like, you have to go meet Jordan right now. but I was like, no. But when I explained to people, like, for instance, I have all of the workouts that, you know, we have for the 90-day challenge. And like, I did like a little binded, you know, folder for it. And I take it with me when I go to the gym. And I had a really hard time moving from month one to month two because I honestly loved month one workouts like so much. So I think I did them for like 3 months. And I just like, I started like noticing progressions because some of the stuff you write on the programming, like I've never been familiar with it in my whole life. So like learning it is just like, oh my God, I'm learning something new. My brain can only process so many new things a day. So the one thing that I notice is like, sometimes I'll go look at like our Facebook page and I'll see like, oh my gosh, people are like going through their 90-day challenge and you know, they're on month two now. And oh my gosh, look at this person's lifting so heavy. And I'm like, okay, good for them. And I want to be supportive to them. But like, for me, like who fucking cares? Maybe I need to do 4 months of your month one program and then move on to month two. Like, I think at the end of the day, I've come to this point where I'm like, I'm just so happy that I have the time and the ability, you know, the physical ability to go to the gym. I got injured very badly with my back. And like, for me, it's honestly just a blessing to be able to go to the gym and like run and just do things like that. So I think it was a few months ago, you said something about like, something is always better than nothing. And on those days where I'm like, I really don't feel like lifting right now, or I feel like more, you know, doing metabolic workout, I'm like, okay, something is always better than nothing. And I've seen so much progress since I've changed that mindset and like my workouts, my physical ability, my mental ability. Like, I'm like, okay, I don't need to focus on all these like little body parts anymore. Like, they'll be there to work out tomorrow. Like, they're always going to be there. Like, that, you know, that 90-day challenge is always going to be there in that binder. Like, it'll always, those workouts will always be available. And I'm just kind of taking my time with every single one of them. So I just appreciate you for putting that out there. But another thing, I just like seeing everybody in the group go through all of their fitness journeys and being able to relate to, I mean, I think we all relate to one another, but we're all just doing it a different way. So seeing everybody's approaches to how they do their fitness journey has been the most fascinating thing for me. And I love that. It's just really cool. I love seeing everyone doing their own thing, but then we all have this like bigger goal in mind that we're all working on together.
It's honestly, it's a very interesting dynamic in terms of, for example, we got Tony in there, right? Who is just like, yeah. the Tony was a one-on-one client of mine for a long time. And Tony is clearly, he's either in his 50s or 60s now, and just like one of the most kind, generous, sweet human beings in the world. And mm-hmm. also unbelievably like scary strong. Yeah. And he could be a very high level power lifter, but then he can get in there and speak with, you know, a brand new member who's never lifted weights before and break it down in a very simple, easy, welcoming, encouraging way. And that to me is like, I am blown away with the interaction within the group, because there's no, I think it's the perfect example of realistically what every single person wants in their gym, but the emotional side of being scared or nervous or intimidated creates this idea of everybody is judging me. And mm-hmm. a lot of times it's everyone is worried that everyone else is judging them. And so it's a room full of people who are worried that everyone's judging them, and it creates a weird environment. But in our group, everyone is just so open and vulnerable and willing to say like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I'm nervous to do this. And everyone's just super encouraging. And it's really amazing. And
it's the best thing. I mean, going back to Tony, like, I think it was a month ago, I posted a deadlift video. And I'm really lucky. I got to barter a deal with like a sports rehab doctor, because I do, you know, PR and marketing as like part of my business. So he was like, hey, if you help me with PR and marketing, like, I'll help you with your lower back injury. And we've been really great working together. So he's been giving me a lot of pointers and tips about my deadlift. And there's just so much information I'm sucking in from him. But I still wanted to post my video to the inner circle. But I like kindly asked on my caption for, you know, anyone commenting to not give me too many like pointers in one thing. Like just.
Yeah, just like one or two. Yeah.
Simple. I was like, literally give me something simple. And what I fucking love is Tony commented, of course. And the amount of respect that he showed me, I was like, this is just, that's how you know you're around like a lot of really great people. I mean, he probably had like a million and one things that he could have commented on, but he respected so much that I needed that simplicity and was just able to be like, oh, next time, you know, elevate your weight. So you have this and that. And I was like, oh, I could do that. That's super easy. So I felt so respected. And I just love that aspect. Like, I could go in there right now and post something and be like, I need help with this, but I just want to make sure no one gives me anything complicated. Or on the flip side, it could be like, I need an in-depth analysis of like what I'm doing wrong with this and that. And like someone could go very much in there and just, you know, help with that. So I really like the flip sides of both. But yeah, that was just such an amazing thing. I felt so respected and I felt so heard. And you know, that doesn't come by very often. I think people tend to overcomplicate things. So I was like really just happy that someone saw that and read that and like really was just like, I'm going to respect her decision to not overcomplicate this or analyze this and just help her with one thing. So I just really appreciated that.
It's funny. You bring up a good point. And this is something I think a lot of people struggle with. A lot of us, and I'd argue everybody at least some point, but I think a lot of times in life, we don't feel heard. We don't feel like people really are hearing what we are struggling with, what we want them to say. And I know, I remember, I'll never forget an interaction I had with a really amazing woman in a circle. And she emailed me and she was having a really tough couple months and, uh-huh. and there was a lot of issues and consistency was an issue, but just like family and work and da da da. And I just said, listen, I wish I could come up with a solution. I wish I had words to say that would make it all better, but I don't. The reality is, like, it really sucks what you've been through, and I just, like, I'm sorry, and I empathize with that. And if you ever need a soundboard, let me know. And she responded. She was like, I'm sobbing because everybody I've told so far, their immediate response is, and it's from a goodwill, but mm-hmm. their immediate response is to try and fix the situation, or like, oh, it could be worse or whatever. And
oh yeah,
it comes from a good place, but it takes away the ability for someone to really own what they're feeling. And sometimes literally just being able to give someone an opportunity to say, hey, this is how I feel, and say, hey, I'm so sorry, that sucks. Boom, now it's over. What's next? And like, that's what I really have been very impressed with. Like, for example, that Tony situation where he could have been like, okay, we're going to talk about the head of the femur and the acetabulum. You're in the internal external rotation. But he was like, all right, so elevate it 2 inches. That's it. Like, everybody has an opportunity in whatever capacity they want to feel heard. And that's a very special and very unique situation. And it's solely because of the people involved, like yourself and Tony and Susan and the other Susan and everybody. It's crazy. But I also want to bring up one point you said a while ago. I just wanted to come back to it. You said yeah. that the point that something that really hit home with you was something is always better than nothing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, they use the idea that, okay, well, I'm not going to be able to get a full workout in, so might as well just not get anything at all. They use it as an excuse to not go. And mm-hmm. and being able to realize, listen, 5 minutes of something is better than nothing at all. And the way I sort of think about it is, if you have a gas tank at zero
mm-hmm.
and you have the opportunity to fill it up to a quarter of a tank or not at all, like, you're going to fill it up to a quarter of a tank. Like, you're not going to be like, well, you know what? I can't fill it up 100%. So fuck it. I'll just stay here and wait for someone to come by. Like, no, you'll do what you can. You'll move a little bit forward. And then you have to figure out what you can do next. Like, if you end up at a gas station, can fill up more, great. If you can only fill it up a quarter again, that's what you do. But you keep moving forward in some way. And you just can't argue with, even if all you do is a fucking glute bridge and plank, and that's it, that's moving forward. That is yeah. progress. Like, and so I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people just feel like, I'm not going to make any progress. And it's like, what the fuck are you? There's no finish line. There's no, like, what are you? You're not training for a fucking competition. You're not, this is an Olympic thing. You're literally just mm-hmm. trying to get better and to challenge yourself. And a lot of times people, like, I'm struggling with consistency. Okay, so how about we just start off by doing a glute bridge every day? We'll do that. Like, if you can do that, you're being more consistent than you are right now. And
I love that.
You've really set a tone for people that makes it welcoming for them to say, hey, if I want to be more consistent or be more successful, it doesn't have to be a 2-hour body part split. It can be a, hey, you know what? I'm going to drink a full glass of water every day, and that's going to be my first bit. And that is a success.
Yeah. I just, that's probably the best thing I've taken away from being part of the inner circle, is just like, something is always better than nothing. But I like what you said about, since joining the inner circle, I've changed my mindset from, like, I don't know what it was before. I think it's because of the people that I'm surrounded with at my gym. You know, I train around a lot of athletes, and part of me, I guess, gave into the notion, like, hey, I'm an athlete just like them. And I'm like, no, I'm not training for anything. I'm trying to do this for the longevity and just to be more productive in my everyday life. And just, you know, I want to be like Susan someday and just be like, holy shit, I'm still going to the gym and like pulling weight. So that's another thing, like, since joining the inner circle, I'm like, I'm not an athlete. I'm here to train every day just to make myself feel better. And it doesn't need to be intense. Like, I have a jump rope in my trunk because I love jump roping. The other day I was in between a listing appointment. Like, I was dressed very nicely. Like, I stopped at the park, took my shoes off, and like jump roped for 5 minutes, and then did a few push-ups, and then got back in the car. I didn't give a fuck who was looking at me. I was like, I just felt like getting out of my car and doing something, because I hate driving. So I was like driving for hours, you know, in Los Angeles on top of all things. And I'm like, oh, I'm going crazy. Like, there's only so many podcasts I can listen to, or like, and just, there's so many things I could do. So I just pulled over, jump rope for 5 minutes, like did a few push-ups and got back inside the car, like went on my way.
Honestly, I'm not kidding. That's one of the best stories I've heard in 2018 so far. And I'm so serious. Not like, first of all, it's funny because I carry a jump rope in my backpack all the time.
I love it.
I have a jump rope and an Acumobility ball in my backpack all the time. Like, just because if I'm going to do something, like I would love to do jump rope, and then I can do some soft tissue work and put whatever. It's just so simple, and they're very small and easy to carry. But yeah. Also, like, you're in nice clothes and you're like, fuck it, I don't care if anyone's looking at me, because realistically, no one gives a shit anyway.
No.
And at the end of the situation, if you get home after these long drives, if you think back on what you've done, are you going to look back and say, man, I'm really glad I didn't get out of the car and jump rope for a minute? Or are you going to say, I'm really glad I did? And you did. And it doesn't matter if it was for 15 seconds or 15 minutes, you did it. And just the fact that it was done, it's another check in the, I did something today, let's keep going. And tomorrow's another day. And that's that. Like, you have become a master of setting personal records for yourself. And a personal record doesn't have to mean like you're lifting the heaviest weight possible. It could just mean like, today's personal record was I didn't feel like doing shit and I still did something. And that's a huge win versus like just not doing it. And that's that, like, it's the green check versus the red X. Whatever you have to do in your headspace to make it a green check. And if that literally just means doing 5 push-ups with your hands elevated on the kitchen table, boom, green check. You win. Yeah. That's a positive. Like, and that type of mindset that you've cultivated for yourself is this conversation is the quintessence of what I would love the entire fitness industry to become. And people can find whatever they want on that spectrum. If someone is an elite athlete and they need to be doing something 4, 5, 6 times a week for 2 hours a day, and that's their devotion, amazing. But if someone also goes the other side and they're like, hey, listen, I just want to sort of go in and do some stretching and maybe some band work and, I don't know, like work out 2 times a week, that's fine too. But the continuum is open to everybody, and what you want to do with it is up to you. And there's no failing as long as you just do something.
Yeah, that's something that I've learned, and I honestly love it. And like, sometimes on that whole notion, I'm so happy. Like, a lot of the ladies that are part of the inner circle, I just absolutely adore. We, some of us started like a private messaging group where we help each other with nutrition. And literally sometimes my doing something just means messaging them and being like, I'm having a fucked up week and I don't know what I'm doing with my nutrition, and just telling them like what's going on. Or sometimes it's like, oh shit, I just ate some candy, and like for my next meal, I'm going to make sure I don't have any candy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's great. It's like, it's accountability and it's support and it's encouragement. And it's just like so much of what you might not get in your daily life in person is now available to you directly on the internet. And it's really coming to fruition now. It's one of the things I'm very anxious about is the Inner Circle retreat, like the annual retreat that's going to happen in Austin, Texas.
Exciting.
I'm so excited for that. And I'm also scared like batshit crazy because like I've never organized a retreat for that many people before. So it's like very nerve wracking, but I'm so excited because we've all become to be friends online. I'm so excited to bring everyone together, like from all of, like, I think Diana's going to be coming from England. I'm pretty sure Joe will be coming, but people from all over the US, like we're going to try and bring like people from Australia and Singapore. It's crazy. So I'm excited. And listen, I hope you know, how much I sincerely appreciate you and not only the positivity that you bring to the group and the value that you bring to the group, but equally as important, the changes that you've done for yourself. And I think it's so important to, and that's why we got on the call. I wanted to speak with people who are not only bringing value to the group by commenting and supporting, but also the changes I've seen in you have been that you have inspired within you. They can't be overemphasized. That you have to realize, and you have to really give yourself credit where credit is due, because everyone can have the best information, the best books, the best workouts, best nutrition, but if you're not putting in the effort, nothing is going to happen. And you've really gotten to a point where, and it's not saying that it's going to be easy or that you won't have slip ups, but you've gotten to a point where you are not holding yourself to unrealistic expectations. You're not beating yourself down. You're giving yourself an equal opportunity to succeed and to love what you're doing. And that is tremendous. And I respect it a lot. And I want you to know that.
You're gonna make a girl cry over here. But I really appreciate what you said, because I mean, I just being involved in this group has just been everything. But I do agree with you, because you put all the information there, which is awesome. I love the way that you do everything, but it's really up to us to take it and run with it and make do of what we need out of the experience. For me, I joined the experience thinking that I was gonna like get better at working out, and then I realized like that's not the experience I wanted to have in the inner circle. What I wanted to have was building a support group, being vulnerable, learning how to be consistent, because I realized I wasn't consistent before I joined, and then just being more brave in my everyday life. I applied for grad school actually, like in April. Yeah, I applied for grad school in April or May. And I honestly wouldn't have done it if I hadn't been in the inner circle. And I think it inspired me so much, because I've been thinking about going back for years. And it inspired me to go back because I was starting to get all nervous about my health and wellness. Like that was the main thing that I was nervous about, thinking about going back to school. But then seeing everybody in the inner circle and like all the hats that they wear and all the communities that they serve and all the things that they're doing, and they're still managing to take care of themselves, made me just be like, well, I can do it. And I might have some slip ups along the way, but I have this like support system in this group, and I know myself now that I can reach out if I need help at any time, but I also know myself. So like I know what to do. So it just inspired me. I'm so happy I got in. And I just can't wait. And I'm so
You got
excited in
in?
so many ways. Yeah, I got in.
Holy shit, Mazel Tov, that's incredible.
Thank
That's on oh my God, you're gonna make me cry. That's on that literally that entire story, I was just like, holy shit, like that inspired her to do that. Like that's just mind blowing.
It
And
really
then
did.
I didn't even register when you said I got in. I was like, wait, you got in a circle? Like, of course you got in a circle. It's like, oh, you got into that. Like, oh my God, that's incredible. Like I'm
I'm so excited.
beyond excited for it. That's huge. That's amazing. Huge congratulations.
Thank you. I'm just excited. And I think it's just, I just being part of this group just instilled so much confidence in me. And I started realizing that a lot of the anxieties that I had, like you said, were just living inside of my head. And when I verbalized them out loud with either posting on Facebook or emailing you privately or messaging the girls that I'm part of the group with, it was like, oh, okay, I have this support system and a lot of this stuff that I think I'm dealing with. I'm creating like, there's a little quote that says, I create more tragedies in my head that actually occur in real life. And it's like, yeah, I'm creating tragedies over here that haven't even happened.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to get on the phone and on, and I'm very excited to hear the response to this because I think you'll have inspired and helped a lot more people than you might realize. So thank you for
Thank
this
you.
and please like keep me posted with everything. Huge congrats on being accepted and I will be seeing you in the inner circle very soon. But
Yes.
again, seriously, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with me. I really appreciate it. And I'm so excited that I got to talk to
We will
you.
definitely talk again soon and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
And that wraps up this episode of the Jordan Syatt mini podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I can't even begin to tell you truly how much I appreciate your support. If there's anything I can do for you, if you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to reach out. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.